Today's daf in Masechet Nedarim, brought to you from Eretz HaKedesh, is daf Pei Aleph. And we were in the middle of a discussion of how it is that Rabbi Yossi can possibly say, on the one hand, that he doesn't consider it to be a neder to avoid peres of the olam to be in a nefesh, but he does consider not having a washing machine to be in, well, at least not washing your clothes, to be in a nefesh, to the point where he says that if your wash is going to prevent the village downstream from being able to survive, it's their tough luck, because your wash is more important. Now, that doesn't make sense if he doesn't even hold that food is considered to be in a nefesh. So how does that make sense? So the Gemara said that it's actually a more chashuv because of the fact that it leads to dementia. And he feels that dementia is actually more something that's more dangerous than the type of things that would happen just from not washing your skin. Not washing your skin, you may get some infections, some boils, whatever. That's curable, but dementia is a lot more problematic. So that's what we were up to. And already, once we were talking about the Misora, then why don't we start over from that Misora, what it was that they sent from Eretz Yisrael, because that way we can get to the rest of it on the fifth line. Shochu mitam, hizaharu, so from Eretz Yisrael, they actually sent a message that fit that, because from Eretz Yisrael, they told people, be careful to learn bechabura. Of course, that means always come to Daf Yomi. Absolutely an ancient prescription for health. Hizaru bechabura, hizaru bivnei aniyim. Make sure that you take into your schools the people who can't afford tuition. Shemehem teitzei Torah. Those are the people that are most responsive and less into themselves. Shenema yizalmayim midalyav. Midalyav is a lashon of dalut. So that means the mayim of Torah will go from the poor. And this continues, that's why I wanted to start from there. This is where we were up to, and it's a continuation. So if you're talking about where it is to find Torah, you find an interesting phenomena that you would think that children that grow up in homes of great Talmidei Chachamim would be naturally attracted to becoming Talmidei Chachamim themselves. And yet, for some reason, we don't find that that's the case. It's less percentage of children from such homes that become themselves Talmidei Chachamim than, like we say over here, the poor are the ones that are going to be the source of Torah in the future. Why is that? So, Ibnei Ma Ein Mitzuyin Talmidei Chachamim Letzei Talmidei Chachamim Ibneihem. So why is it less common that we should find Talmidei Chachamim from families of Talmidei Chachamim? Omer Rav Yosef, that's in order. Shelo Yomru Torah Yerushahi Lehem. There's two approaches in this. Shelo Yomru means they should not say to themselves. And if they say that to themselves, then they end up not doing the necessary work. So, you know, okay, it's sort of something that just comes with the territory. Well, Torah doesn't come with the territory. So therefore, they end up not being Talmidei Chachamim. Or we can understand it as being a way in which the tzibur would be very poorly affected. Because if it turned out that we had like families that were the equivalent of kayanim, you know, and these are the Talmidei Chachamim families, so other people would feel, well, you know, the Torah is basically giving Yerusha to them, and that it's not something for us. We couldn't really become great if we tried. And the whole point, of course, is the Keser Shel Torah is actually Muchan, it's Eimed, Komish, Yava, Yava, Vayitle. That's the whole point of Keser Shel Torah. And this would be extremely damaging for people to feel that the Torah is something that is out of reach and is Nogea, specific Yerusha. Rav Shish, Abrei de Ravidi, Amar, Kedei Shelo Yitgadru, Ala Tzibur. If they would always be part of a family that were Gedele Tera, they would become Baalei Gava. And if they became Baalei Gava, then they just don't take into consideration other people. Ravashi says, you're darn right they don't. They call Amearetz donkeys. Mishum Dekorale Inche Chamre. They don't consider them to be human. If people don't have the level of Chochmah that they have, they look at them as, yeah, these aren't humans. So because of that, this is basically the Mida Keneged Mida. So you're going to tell me that these people are not suitable for Chochmah because they're more like donkeys. Okay, so let's see your children who you think are genetically suitable for Chochmah, and then they don't become Tamir Chachomim. Ravina Aimer, She'ein Mevorchim B'Torah Techila. They don't say the bracha of the first thing. The Pashtus is from the Rishonim, even though there are others that try to relate this to the because normally you see the way we learn Petera Tchila is Tchila in the Beit HaKnesset. So we have the Tchila Vesof, right? That's normally the way we refer to the Barachas. So this is a little bit strange, Tchila. So therefore some of the Achronim wanted to fit it into that, and they say that it means that they don't demand to have the first Aliyah. So they let other people go before them, and that's a Bizayin HaTeira, because remember, in those days, the Peseach would be Mavarech, and at the end, the person with the last Aliyah would finish the Bracha. Okay, but the Rishonim don't say that that's the Pshat, and therefore, the point over here seems to be, as the Ran uses, Tchila, meaning the Tchila Isuka, the first thing that they do when they start learning in the day. So they started sort of take for granted, you know, well, life is Torah, you know, so I'm doing that all day long. So like, because I get up in the morning, I start making new bracha. So they don't have that kind of hakpada. And they begin to take the Torah for granted. And this relates to the actual churban. Because remember, Omer v'yunom rab, my dechtiv mi ha'ish ha'chacham v'yavein et zot. And there, the Pasuk says, b'pnei ma of the ha'aretz. And how is it possible that this situation came about? And as like the Gemara said, nobody was able to answer this. Dover zedish alach ha'chamim, they didn't have an answer. La'neviyim, they didn't have an answer. Lo pirshu, until, because then we see the next pasuk, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to answer. Why can't we figure out that answer ourselves? Ad shepirsho HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzmo, dichtiv ha'yomer Hashem al ozvam. Et Torati. Now, obviously, that can't mean literally Alozvam et Torati, because, I mean, first of all, that wasn't the case, you know. There wasn't an Azivas HaTorah, Adarabah. There was a tremendous amount of learning. And not only that, it says, Velo Shamu Bekoli, Velo Chuba, is the end of the pasuk. But that's crazy, because if that were the case, so then what do you mean? You ask the Nevi'im, Nevi'im can't give you an answer like that. Any 2-year-old could tell you that answer. What do you mean? Amavdaret. Because people weren't keeping mitzvahs, so they weren't learning Torah, whatever. I mean, isn't that the first thing? That's the whole point of the bris, and you were just aretz. And if you're ever on the bris, so how could it mean lo shamu b'koli v'lo olchupa? What does that mean? So therefore, the pshat, this is the way Rabbi Yonah explains it, as the Ran brings, that the point must be, therefore, that it's the terasi is the issue. Azav as terasi means that they don't really look at the Torah as a source of life. There's not that love. And the deeper nekuda, which I think is much more to the point than just the question of the love of Torah or the Torah lishma, is the question of the lo shamu v'koli v'lo achuva. In other words, the idea of lalechet, in that sense, they call Hashem that's mishalech l'ruach hayom, the lalechet. The lalechet means to look to the Torah for the understanding of your life and where it's supposed to be going. The fact that everybody's sitting and learning and there's all these kelels, and we have the halacha kelel, we have the Yerushalmi kelel, we have the Hirah kelel, it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't interest me really. So, I mean, I understand that you are shocked by the fact there's never been more kelels. Why should we have to? That's the point. I'm going to tell it to you like it is. They're certainly not learning my Torah. That's the pshat. So in other words, a Torah C is the issue. As long as Torah C, it's Keli that's important. They're not hearing my voice. They're hearing, you know, the Chidush Torah that they're interested in, but that's not what this is about. And so Memela, if that occurs, so then they don't see the bracha of having Torah. And because of that, they're not, even if they physically make the bracha, that's not what the bracha is about. The bracha is about terasi. And so memela, that's what we mean when we say lo birchu b'torah tchila. There wasn't, I mean, most understand, I mean, literally, that they weren't makbid on birchas ha'torah, a little difficult to believe, but that the bracha, the whole point of the bracha is the chibur to the thing as it is. Isn't that what the meaning of a bracha is? It's definitive. So you can't make a bracha b'terah tchila if you don't have that chibur. It's just words. And Mamela, we call that shlo baruch b'terah tchila. That makes more sense than to say that they've actually left off them. And where do you see people not being makbid on actually being mevarech b'terah tchila? Don't. So now, take a look at the point. If the pasuk says, lo shamu b'koli, so isn't that exactly the same, v'lo hochuba? What's the difference between lo shamu b'koli and lo hochuba? Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. No, that's the point. The point is that ein bevorchim or shalo birchu b'teira tchila. So that's exactly what it was that the Rabbeinu Yonah is saying. That I'm telling you that there's something missing here. That's the lo chuva. It may look to you like they were not Eziv Esatera, but it's not true. I'm telling you that they were not actually ho chuva, which means that it's a dover poshet, that they weren't mevorach b'terah tchila because they cannot. Isi ben Yehuda. Anyway, getting back to the question of washing machines. That's a very strange shita of Rabbi Yossi. That it's more important to wash your clothes, and that's considered to be inyan nefesh, than it is to actually be personally clean. So that personal hygiene, that is to say, of the body, is less chomor than clean clothes. So that seems a little bit odd. So what happened is that Isi Bar Yehuda was a Talmud, and he didn't show up. He didn't show up to Yeshiva for 3 days. Now, Vardimus, who was Rabbi Yossi's son, bumped into him on the street, and he said to him, how come you haven't been in the shir for the past 3 days? My time alo asima lebe medrosha da'aba at lasa yomi. So Vardimus said to him, I've given up on your father. I understand what he's talking about. Time edevuch lo yadana. I don't understand the kind of things he says, so I'm not going to show up to a shir where it doesn't make any sense. So how am I supposed to go to shir? So Vardimus said to him, could you tell me, like, what is causing you such confusion? Oh, I thought my father was pretty clear, actually. Well, he said this crazy thing. He said that washing clothes is more important than other people's lives. I mean, how are we supposed to take that seriously? Does he have a pasuk? I mean, you can't come up with a thing like that on your own. Where does he see that in the Torah? Krami Nolan. Amalei, it's a befarish of pasuk, said Vardimus. What's the matter with you? Take a look at the pasuk. Umigreshehem. So we're talking about the Torah gives the Levim, not only the Orei HaLevim, but it gives them an area outside, first 1,000 amos, another 1,000 amos beyond that, and that is supposed to be for Behemtam, Rechusham, Uchau, Chayatam. I understand. Behemtam, I understand. Okay, so we have one area that's set aside for grazing. Maybe that's parkland, whatever you want to call it, grasses. Then you have something else that is Rechusham. So maybe that's the industrial area, the car garages. I don't know. But what is the Chol Chayatam supposed to mean? So explain that additional word. I mean, what would it mean? Do you think it means, and they're wild animals? Well, what, to keep their doggies there? So they have a gigantic kilometer-long doggy run around. I mean, come on. Anyway, Chayot are included in Behemoth all over. So it says Behemtam, it already included Chayatam. So what does it mean? They're living. They're not living there. They have their homes in the towns. I'll tell you what it has to mean. It's got to mean the laundry. That's Gufa the Pshat. Those are the places where you find all the water and the ponds and the streams, so the people go out to wash their clothes there. And the Torah is calling it Chayatam. So that means that laundry is Chius. QED. There you have a riot to my father's Pshat. Now you can come back to Shir. El Alav Kvisa. You want to know that Tom, that's something else. He was explaining the reasoning. The reasoning is, Da'ika Tzara Da'arbuvita, because we already said that it's a very dangerous situation and you want to avoid senility. Okay? Omer Rabbi Yossi, getting back to the Mishnah, so Rabbi Yossi said that not taking a shower is not considered to be Nidrei Inyan Nefesh. Did he mean that they're not heferable nedarim, or did he mean they're not inui nefesh? But, of course, they would come under b'dvarim shebeino leveina? Or do we consider a smelly wife not to be dvarim beino leveina? How far is Rabbi Yossi willing to go on this? So according to Rabbi Yossi, ma'u sheyafer mishum dvarim shebeino leveina? Tashma, omer Rabbi Yossi, ein elu nidrei inui nefesh, okay? I mean, doesn't that seem to be saying that he's stressing? He doesn't say, if shalahofer, ein elu mufarim, he says, they are not inui nefesh, meaning that you have to know the difference between being made for a neder, which is inui nefesh, or making a neder that's only being mufar on the basis of beino leveina. What is that difference? Just to remind you, the difference is dramatic. When it comes to inui nefesh, it's a complete hafara, so that even though she's no longer in your rishus, this is a neder that is kaput. You were basically destroyed the neder. The Rambam always uses the lashon of akiras haneder when it comes to hafara, which is very much not the derech legemara, which counters hatora, which is oikad the neder miyikorei, to hafara. But the way the Rambam understands hafara, that's good for the point, is that if you're able, you cancel it. You cancel it, and therefore it makes no impact. That's the point. The Chacham has to take it away, not cancel it, which is a very different thing. Anyway, so what Rabbi Yossi seems to be saying, if it were in Nefesh, so then in Achinami, it would not be there anymore. But if it's only Benolovina, so as soon as he divorces her, if she would go and marry somebody else, the Neder would instantly bechal on her. That seems to be what he's saying. Not necessarily, says the Gemara. Maybe he was only saying this to the Rabbanan. In other words, you Rabbanan have taken for granted. But if we want to give an example of the inyonim of Elo Nidorim, that someone can be made for Le'ishtai, you're going to take this as an example. I mean, look, there's two things wrong with you, okay? I must say, to me personally, maybe this is what Rabbi Yossi is saying. To me personally, I don't think you can be made for this neder at all. I don't think that it's certainly not Nidrei Nefesh. I don't even believe that it's Dvarim Shebeino Leveina. But if you're going to insist that it is a meferable neder, so then at least admit, odili, the ein elo Nidrei Nefesh. I mean, at least agree that if you're going to do afara, it's only going to affect the person that is currently married to you. But it's not going to be able to change the neder if she marries somebody else. So therefore, we can't bring a riot, okay? So I'm going back to my question. What is the fact? Was Rabbi Yossi allowing Hafara in terms of Beino Leveina or not? So if Adabar Ava Omer, yes, of course he could be made for them because it certainly will affect their intimate relationship. Ravuna Omer, no, he cannot because we've seen this before. That, look, I never saw a fox drop dead from the stench of his own burrow. Have you? So, okay. So the kind of things that people get used to, they just get used to, you know? And therefore, I mean, I think that society has somewhat changed in this issue, but in any event, that's the theory. By the way, remember that at the time, there was really a different meaning to this. The different meaning is, remember that according to the Gemara, there is a danger in pubic hair, which sounds to us to be very weird. That was the story of Pelegish Begiva. Remember, that's why he was angry at her. So that the derech was to remove female pubic hair because of what sounds to us insane, the chances of getting your penis caught up in pubic hair and damaging it. I don't know what to tell you. But therefore, the Rishonim say over here that the point is that a fox can always avoid obstacles in his burrow, which means that any Mr. P can figure out its way, which is a little bit more graphic. But anyway, the issue translated into the pashtus of the sugya is that, you know, it's not going to kill you a little bit of smell. Tani gavasi d'rvada bar ava. Dvarim sheyesh behem inui nefesh, mefer, bein beino levina cherim. Those things that are not inui nefesh, those things only beino levina mefer, beino levina cherim eino mefer. This is just basically a review of what we know. It's the ketzad that's important over here, which is the raya for the first approach, that you can be mefer, according to Ravasi. Ketzat. Amra konam pirot alai. So then hareza yafer. Konam she'ini osa lefi abba. So over there, he can be mefer, and it doesn't matter whether it's specifically the peros of her husband or whether it's tam peros. And that kind of thing is basically a dover that is, everybody agrees, is considered to be a neder that affects universally because it's dvarim that are not just beino levina, but are ino yafesh. Suppose she says, konim she'ini osa lefiaba, lefiavicha. Well, I'm not going to work for my father. I'm not going to work for your brother. I'm not going to do things for your father. I'm not going to do things for my brother. I'm not going to put animal feed in front of your animals. I'm not going to give your cattle water. Those things are not, interestingly enough, heferable nedarim, because they are not considered to be dvarim beino levina. They are considered to be things that you have decided are beino levina. Where is the legal chiyav, and where was she mitchayevet? We're talking over here about, by the way, about, remember, we had back in Suvis, we had all the things that she's supposed to do. But we're talking about once she brings in Arba Shvachot, so then Yoshevet Bekathedra, like we said, right? The only thing is that she has to do those intimate things that are part of their relationship. Okay. Now, remember, we had the machlokas of if it batolam, if it lide she'imum, and what's the minimal level that she has to do. But these things, you can't say, what do you mean? If you're not going to be nice to my father, that's going to affect our relationship. So don't let it affect the relationship. It's not a given, because it's not a chiyav in the ksuva for the relationship. So those things cannot be included in afara at all. If she says, konam shelo ekhol, or shelo evkos. Okay, so I'm not going to put on eyeshadow. I'm not going to put on rouge. Or shaloa shamesh mitati. I'm not going to be involved in intimate relations. That he can be made for. He can be made for in terms of dvarim shebeino leveina. How about if she says, konam, that I'm not going to make your bed. Or I'm not going to pour, water with your wine. Or outrage. Absolute outrage. I am no longer going to wash you off in the shower. Oh my God, what kind of woman is that? What would you expect? Absolute minimal. My goodness gracious. So I'm not going to do that anymore. Lora chatzlecha panecha yadecha v'raglecha. So those kind of things, he doesn't even have to be mefer. She doesn't have any right to not do things that are intimate parts of her hitchayvut as being a good wife. Rabbi Gamliel says, no, you should be Yefer. Why? Shneamar lo yachel devoro. Devoro means even just something that you say. Even if it's not binding. That's why he puts it that way. Lo yachel devoro, this is an extension, obviously, to the smachta. Doesn't mean it seriously. But since the Torah phrased it this way, this is how the Ran understands it. Since the Torah phrased it this way, he is coming to add a concept of that when you say something, even if it isn't binding as a neder, that doesn't mean that there's a sense that people have of give me your word, right? What does give me your word mean? It's sort of a sense of being integrous to yourself. And it's the same thing, hein shelcha hein, and so on. So maybe those things are not enforceable legally, but there still is a concept of devorah. And therefore, since the Torah has said, lo yachel devoroi, even if it's merely your word, and doesn't have a din of a neder, so because of that, you're right that you do not have to be mefer in terms of a neder. But since it says, lo yachel devoroi, that the point is that someone else should be mefer, so even though obviously that doesn't apply to your word, but nonetheless, it helps to guarantee the integrity of your words. So it's not that you yourself are saying, well, I've decided to change my mind. It's that I'm telling you this is not something that is appropriate and it's not going to be approved of me b'chutz. And that way it doesn't have the same sense of chilul of your own integrity. Dover acher, lo yachel dvaro, mikan lechacham she'enu matir, nidre atzimo. So this is this very point that lo yachel aval acherim mochalim lo is the portion of meaning that we learn from it. That's the diraisa, that there's a concept of hatoras nidorim. And this thing also is the opposite, that it's not his own devoro, he cannot do, only somebody else can. Now, getting back to the riot. So we're trying to figure out, according to Rabbi Yossi, what would be the din about the issues that he says are not considered to be dvarim avinui nefesh, and yet he would agree that dvarim should be no levina. So let me show you why I think that we have a good raya from here that you can be made for in terms of beino levina. Because man shaminan diomer shelo echol v'shelo efkos. So who was the one who said that those nedarim are considered to be dvarim that are beino levina specifically and nothing else? That is Rabbi Yossi. Because Rabbi Yossi is the only one who holds that things that affect your own grooming are not considered to be inu nefesh. They're only considered to be dvarim shebeino levina. And yet it says over here that even though they're not inu nefesh, they are beino levina. So lechora, we have a raya. Oh, my, I didn't understand one of the cases. I mean, okay, I see what you're saying, but when you bring up this bride, there's something that didn't make any sense over there. How can she says what? Shaloa shamesh mitati? I'm not going to engage in intimate relations. He has to be mefer because it's dvarim shebeino levina. Can you tell me what the case is? I mean, if she says, I'm ossering the pleasure of my intimacy on you, that's not hers to osser. Why in the world would you need hafara? Lamali hafara. Ha mishubedet le. Like we've said, anything that she's mishubedet to, you don't require hafara to it. That is like assering something that is yours on you. How can you asser someone else's things on him? Yes, of course, that's not the case. It would be talking about where, as we've had many times before, that we don't ask a person to be over an isser. And that would be the reason that we said we would even have the dorm that could be chal on a sukkah. Let's say if she, a person asks the hanav of yeshivas a sukkah. So then, even though it's not chal on a mitzvah, but we're not going to be feeding someone in ma'achilin adam dover asr lo. So then it's true over here. If she says just the opposite, she says, I will not allow myself the pleasure of relations with you. And this is basically what Rav Kahana paskin. Gidi Omer Rav Kahana. Hana'at tashmishi alecha. That's ridiculous. It's trying to asser your things on you. Kofal mishamashto. He doesn't have to even be made for it. He just forces her to ignore this neder. Hana'at tashmishcha alai. That's a big problem. So then he has to be made fair. She'ein ma'achilin et ha'adam davar ha'asrlo. So therefore, if he needs to avoid this neder, he's got to be made for it. Now, what about this price? Mantana hadetanya, devarim mutarim v'acherim nahagu behem isur. I atar reshay linhog behem heter kidei levatlan. Just people have taken on this minhag, and they answer things that are really mutter. So how do we know that you have no right that you feel you want to teach them that this is not really true lahalacha? So you're going to go ahead and you're going to eat the thing which is kosher in front of them. Mishum shenemar lo yachel divoro. Because once it is that they've taken this on themselves, so then it's like, again, this is how we paskin, right? When we go to avoid doing something that is a minag, we even say at the beginning of the year, oh, shum minag shel yisr shenahakti, and so on, right? That comes from this Gemara. So that the other remes in the Yachel Dvaro, even though it isn't a real isr, it's your integrity. That's the point. And this is the way that you've been acting. So then you have to maintain that integrity. So for other people to go and to say you should stop doing this, you're not allowed to stop doing this. You'd have to go and you'd have to be martyred. Davar acher, lo yachil dvaro, mikana tam v'chokom sheino mefer nidrei atzmo. So anyway, who said this, Breita? Apparently, money, Rebbe Gamliel, because it's basically the idea that Rebbe Gamliel said before, that lo yachil dvaro is a sense of personal integrity about these things that you have committed yourself to, whether it's in terms of anhaga, which here he's adding a minag, or whether it's in terms of the actual dibur. Domine Rav Amir Reb Nachman, what we have not discussed is the question of sex itself. Is that considered to be inui nefesh? And we had this whole issue, legabe Yom HaKippurim, about those things that are considered to be inui, but that you're not chayev chorus on, because they're only ultimate inui. They're not immediate inui. It was when they got out of it before. And that therefore Rav was saying it's a different context when it comes to Nedarim or when it comes to Yom HaKippurim. So what about actual Tashmish Hamita? Is that considered to be inui nefesh? Or is it, I mean, it's obviously Dvarim Shebeinu Levinah, but the question is, if I may for such a neder, would it be an effective hafara even binogea after her divorce, her sleeping with other people? Or does the neder go back into effect? Omar Lay, well, you know the answer to that. We have the Mishnah later on, Tanitua. Netula ani min hayehudim. So basically what she's saying is, I'm not going to have any fun with the Jews, which essentially means I'm going to be sleeping with anybody. So over there, the halacha is that he can be mefer his chelek umishamashto. So the neder is a neder in terms of how it affects other people. So if he's begarisher, the neder is still there. But she remains netula min hayehudim. And if you're going to tell me that the way to be made for this neder is by utilizing the empowerment of Nidrein and Nefesh, didn't we say that if you're made for Mitam Inu Nefesh, that it's universal, and you're oiker the neder, and it's not going to affect any relations, in which case, seems quite clear that it's really only Beino Levena. Well, wait a minute. Remember, we got a big machlokas about how far we take Nidrein Nefesh between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yossi has much higher standards. He's got a higher pain threshold, so to speak, than the Rabbanan do, right? So, I mean, how do you know? As a matter of fact, you're making a wrong assumption. I mean, you think you know that this is true, statement is true, I'll leave it to the Rabbanan, but it isn't. I'm telling you that the question that you raised is still a valid issue. According to the Rabbanan, is sex considered to be an inui nefesh? That's the question, because this statement over here that you can only be mefer in terms of nidrei beino leveina, that's only true according to Rabbi Yossi. That Mishnah is clearly Rabbi Yossi. How do you know? You're assuming that. Well, because if you take a look at the end of our Mishnah, you'll see a very curious thing. And that is that it seems to repeat itself. And that repetition is the source of Rav Huna's Maimer, that this Perek of Elu Nedarim, all of these Mishnayas are Mishnayas that were said by Rav Yossi. Why does he know that? Mimai. Because take a look at the end of the Mishnah. The end of the Mishnah repeats the same thing. Kiven it's going to Rav Yossi Omer Ein Elu Nidrei Inui Nefesh. Right? Isn't that, how did we start? We started the Mishnah. Rabbanan said, these are inu nefesh. No, says Rabbi Yossi, these are not inu nefesh. I'll tell you what inu nefesh is. So then we go on to discuss not eating any pears, whatever. Those are inu nefesh. So then why do we need to repeat at the end, ha-reze yafer divrei Rabbi Yossi? We've been talking according to Rabbi Yossi the whole time. So it's clear that we said this in order to tell me that the coming Mishnayos are all Rabbi Yossi. And that's the pshat, Shmai Minan, the Kandei Alech Rabbi Yossi. This Mishnah that you're quoting me, and that Tehei Netula Min HaYehudim, you're telling me proves that it's Beino Levina? No, it's consistent with Rabbi Yossi, and it's the Mishnah we have later here in a parak that was Kula Rabbi Yossi, as becomes clear from the first Mishnah.